A Holy Thursday without the Lord's Supper. It's like a Passover meal without the meal. But that's where we are today, and I'm going to talk about that just a little bit. But what we're supposed to talk about today is that the Passover meal becomes more than meets the eye. That's the theme that we're following. Eyes on Jesus. When we behold the Passover meal, especially as we celebrate it now, as the Lord's Supper, there's more there than meets the eye. Jesus tells his disciples that his body is there, his blood is there, and we believe that. We count on it. We rejoice in it. I have to agree with one comparative religion professor who has said that probably nowhere beyond Christianity is there so much emphasis on blood. Blood is all over our readings. As a matter of fact, if you look in the in a good exhaustive concordance, you'll find that there's a reference to blood in the Bible about 450 times. It's pretty imposing. Sometimes blood is mentioned because of the fact that our life is in our blood. Sometimes because of the fact that God says that the blood belongs to Him. Sometimes people call for the blood of their enemies to be shed. And for us, we know that not only is our life here on earth in the blood, but our life is in the blood of Christ, shed for us. It all goes back to the Passover lamb, of course. We've been talking about that before in several of these messages already. The slitting of the throat of the lamb, the throwing of the blood of the lamb, painting of the blood of the lamb during the Exodus. There's blood everywhere. But on the day after this, on that first Holy Week, the blood that was everywhere was the blood of Christ. His blood was on the floor. His blood was on the whip. His blood was on the walls. On the crown of thorns. His blood was on the reed that they used to pound the crown of thorns into his head. The night before, Jesus had instituted the Lord's Supper, bringing the Passover to its fulfillment. I'm sure that the disciples were somewhat surprised, perhaps even shocked. It was all going according to plan. The Passover meal was laid out, and the bread was broken after a prayer of thanksgiving was said, "Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all the creation." And then Jesus broke the bread and handed it out. But as he did, he caught the disciples' attention, no doubt, when he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Why would we need to remember him? The disciples might have thought. There he is right in front of us. And what does he mean when he says, "This is my body"? Has he created cannibals in his own mind? But then the meal progresses, the various courses and the various spoken portions of the Passover liturgy are familiar to the disciples. They've done this dozens of times in their lives. But then he gets to the end of the meal, and he lifts up the cup and gives thanks, and then says to his disciples, "Drink of it. This is my blood shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins." You see, that's why there's blood all over Christianity. Because of the fact that we sing of, we keep in mind, and we even celebrate by putting before us the instrument that was used to shed his blood, we celebrate the fact that Christ's life, his blood, was shed for us, for the forgiveness of sins. For as the writer of the Hebrews says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. It's a meal that many places celebrate every Sunday, though probably not recently. And it is a communal meal. And this is what I want to bring to your attention this evening. A holy week without the Lord's Supper. Easter itself without our gathering for this meal. Because of the stay-at-home order. Because of the pandemic. Because of the governors and the mayors telling us that we're not able to gather at this time. If they would tell us that we are never to celebrate the Lord's Supper again, we would do it defiantly. Because Jesus commanded us, "Do this in remembrance of me." And if they would tell us, "No, that's all over," we would say, "If we need to take it underground, we will. If we need to do this defiantly in civil disobedience to give testimony to the gift that Christ has given us, that we will do." But that's not our current situation. Our situation is that out of concern for the neighbor, we are following the law of the land. Out of respect for the authorities that God has placed over us, we are refraining for a time from getting together. It's been my privilege most of my life to be able to celebrate the Lord's Supper every single week. And now it's been a while. I remember when my father became homebound. And he went from celebrating the Lord's Supper frequently to whenever the pastor could get around to visiting. It was illness that kept him from the table. At that time, perhaps in a different accommodation could be found, such as is suggested that some of us might want to follow, where the pastor does the consecration and everybody in their home who's streaming this does a little bit of the same, and then you share a meal at home. But this is not the Lord's Supper. This is not as Christ instituted it. And therefore, we cannot do it that way. It is a communal meal. And the one who is presiding at the meal is the one who is sharing it, standing in the place of Christ, sharing Christ's body and his blood as the congregation comes together. And if you have a situation such as I have very regularly, in fact, most afternoons under normal circumstances, where I take the Lord's Supper into people's homes, what I am doing is I am taking the church as much as I can with me. And the meal is still communal. The words of institution are said over these elements which are immediately shared. And in the eating and the drinking, God's people are blessed. And so for right now, because we cannot do it that way, because I can't come and visit you, for right now our hunger for it grows. Our anticipation of it increases. Illness, widespread illness, perhaps not even illness that we have been troubled by, is keeping us from coming together to celebrate the Lord's Supper. But the day will come, and soon, when together we will come and kneel here before the altar of God and receive this precious gift of the forgiveness of sins, of life and salvation that was instituted by Christ on that Holy Thursday and intended by Him to be shared with His people as they gather together. If you wanted to find out a little bit more about this, there is an article that's been published by the CTCR, the Commission on Theology and Church Relations. But I think an even better one has been issued by the Joint Seminaries of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Together they have published a document called Communion in a Time of Social Distancing. A quick search engine search will bring that up for you. It's titled, When You Come Together to Eat, Wait for One Another. For right now, as we respect the authority that's been placed over us, and out of concern for those who are more at risk than most of us, we cannot come together. But we await the day when we will stand here or kneel here with joy and hear the words that speak God's truth. This is a life for you. This is forgiveness of all your sins. This is the command of Christ, His gift of grace to you. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for all of your gifts, which you continue to pour out on your people and your church. We ask for the gift of healing, not only for our church, but for our nation and for the entire world. We ask that you bring us safely to the other side of this vile contagion. And we ask that you would continue to work in the hearts, the minds, and the imaginations of those who are tasked with our safety and our health. And that, of course, would include us as well, as we look to the health of the neighbor. We ask, Lord, that the world would be restored to that which you have given and we have learned to cherish, and that it would be done in your way and in your time. And Lord, help us to recall that there is nothing that we can do about the fact that the virus is there. Just as we can do nothing after a community has been devastated by a flood, a tornado, or a forest fire. We can call it an act of God or an act of the devil, but here's the thing that we do know. You have called your people to act in love. in concern for one another, putting the other first. For as we serve the least of these, our brothers and sisters, we do it unto you. Continue to bless our observation of Holy Week, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, even as he taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.